We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power will be encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com and live on Facebook on The Rock Christian Music page. Or you can find us on the Paragon Communications app and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray, everywhere and every way, every moment of the day.
Good morning. You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning. It is the most powerful hour of my day. I'm your host this morning, Monica Lovell. Tina Dobbs is over there running the iPad. And our guest this morning is our brother in Christ, Mr. Les German. How are you doing this morning, sir?
I'm doing great.
Amen. Thank you for coming this morning.
Sure.
If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send that to us three ways. You can email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You can text it to 580-485-0837. And you can still post it to our Facebook page. And we will do our best to get it on paper so that we can pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts, and we have started getting them posted to our website after the program is ended. Okay. Our sponsor for today is Gateway Church, located right here in Elk City, Pastor Chasten Music. If you would like to be put on the wheel for the blessing book for the month of May, yeah, I had to think about that for a minute, y'all. Already. All you have to do is like, share, and comment. Done. We have not picked out a book yet, but don't let that stop you because we're still putting the marks down on the paper. Maybe if Mr. German has time after the program, we'll see if he can pick out a book from our collection to be given away.
Okay. Yeah. I can do that.
I think I covered it all. Tina says she thinks so. I got the nod from Tina, so we're good to go. Would you please pray to start us out, sir?
Well, first of all, Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity. And Lord, I just bless Monica and Tina here that it's here producing this program every morning, weekday morning, Father, and I just bless them and their families in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to speak, pray, and worship this morning. Lord, as we worship you, we just simply say you are Lord of Lords, King of Kings. We exalt your name on high this morning, Father. Let's just give you all praise, glory, and honor. So, Heavenly Daddy, we pray protection. I own this property, and I take authority over all demonic influence that may be present, and I cast you out. I evict you in the name and the power of our risen Lord Jesus Christ. So, Lord, we just invite your angels to come and minister, Father. I submit my will to your will this morning. Lord, let my words heal and not hurt. Just speak through me, Lord, what you want to provide for the people that are listening. Give a spiritual understanding. And we just bless this time, Father. We just thank you for what you're going to do this morning, the lives that will be changed, and the behaviors that may be changed in Jesus' name. Amen.
I like your title this morning, Relationships.
Well, I was praying about it. almost 20 years of, well, yeah, been 20 years of counseling, so yeah. Relationships, but I also, in parentheses, I'm an equal opportunity offender. I mean, you know, married many, many, many years, and kind of got some things worked out with, you know, so maybe I know a little bit about what I'm talking about, but there are a lot of times you speak truth and people don't want to hear it. What, you know, they want to amass their army of supporters, you know, and I'm sorry. it just doesn't work that way. It's not Burger King. You can't have it your way.
Come on.
You know what I'm saying? So we have to be submitted to the Lord. So he's given me several things this morning, but there's one thing that I think about this. God doesn't just have love. He is love. So if we're made in God's image, Genesis 1:26, then God said, let us make mankind in our image to be like us. Let them be masters over the fish in the ocean, the birds that fly, the livestock, everything that crawls on the earth, and over the earth itself. So God, this is 127. So God created mankind in his own image. In his own image, God created them. He created them, male and female. I have told guys before. Well, I've had a guy one time, and again, I'm not picking on people. It's just, I don't know, his twisted thinking. He told me, he said, well, now, you know, men are a little above women. I said, really? Show me chapter and verse. Well, he made Adam first. I said, yeah, and God looked at Adam and said, you know, I might be able to do a little better. And he made Eve. But I just read these scriptures in Genesis. He waited for Eve to be on the scene before he gave the team dominion over the earth. It wasn't just Adam. He waited for Eve, and he gave the team dominion. So I guess I look at it this way. I thank God that through these relationships that we all encounter and are walking through, I just thank God that he deals with us with grace and love. But we also got to realize that Satan deals with us with condemnation and hate. So if I get mad at someone and I curse them, I condemn them, I show hate, yell and scream, call them names, whose kingdom am I operating in, you know? We're advancing one of two kingdoms, you know, kingdom of light or kingdom of darkness. That's pretty much it. Years ago, I heard Jack Taylor say this. He said that God is not an advisor. He is the ruler. We don't get that king mindset here in America. We don't really have that culture. We have elected officials, but places that have kings, when the king speaks, that's it, that's law. There is no committee meeting. There is no debate. It is fact. It is law. Boom, it happens. So if you go against it, you're going to be in trouble. We need to understand that mindset in the kingdom realm. So let's consider three things here real quick. There are true kingdom people in churches, okay? They're what I would call unkingdom people in churches. They're just going through the motions. They show up in church two hours every Sunday morning, sit on the pews, and they're happy, but their life hasn't changed any. And they're not changing the attitudes and the atmosphere around them, okay? And then there's anti-kingdom people in churches that are literally operating outside of the will of God, okay? I think today, God is purging his church. It's more and more you're either for him or you're against him. He's knocking people off the fence one way, and it's our choice, you know what I'm saying? So I say all that to say this, that God wants a relationship, okay, with us. He's our heavenly daddy. I'll tell you this real quick. I may have mentioned this before when I was here again, but I woke up, well, this was a couple of years ago. I wasn't feeling well. I went to bed early. It was cold, so I get all snuggly. And I just remember this. So it's so funny. I actually laughed out loud. It's okay. I was by myself. I guess you had to be there. Anyway, but I get all snuggly, and my nose itched. So I get the covers down. I scratch my nose. Get all comfy, get all covered up again, and my ear itch. Well, so I scratch my ear. I get all comfy, and the back of my neck itch. And I'm like, Lord, I want to get to sleep. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, you haven't told your daddy goodnight. He wants to be our daddy. And he reminded me of when my kids were little. I would sometimes tuck them in, and they'd reach up and give me a big old hug and a kiss on the cheek and said, Daddy, I love you. I want to tell you something. That does something to a daddy's heart. Ooh, 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 man, that's the relationship God wants with us. He wants to be our heavenly daddy. Throw this out too. What, you know, Lord spoke to me years ago and said, evil's going to ramp up, but so is my righteousness and my power. Okay? And boy, we're seeing that. And how many years have we all been praying, Lord, everything hidden will be revealed? Well, man, it's being revealed, isn't it? we're seeing evil, and we're probably going to see more. It's probably going to blow our minds, some of the evil stuff that's going on behind the scenes, but it's going to get exposed. But here's the deal. Thank God I'm on his side of the fence and not theirs. There's a Dr. Doug Weiss that I know from Heart to Heart Counseling Center. He's in Colorado Springs. And he told me, he said, our culture has changed from principle-based behavior to emotional-based behavior. And so I asked him, I said, where do you think the change came from? He said, well, back in the 60s, you know, the old hippie movement, one of the theme of the day was, you know, if it feels good, do it. You've heard that, you know. So people grew up with that theme. They are now willing to set aside principles of right and wrong to accomplish what they want. We want what we want, and it doesn't matter who we hurt along the way, you know. And so I think if we're cognizant of that, then we may not be able to be tempted from the enemy as easily, if that makes sense. So this is interesting, too. Recently I read a news article. Actually, there are several of them addressed this. I can't remember exactly which one, but that people are spending less time with family and friends today than they used to even 20, 30 years ago. As a kid, I remember neighbors coming over to my house. My parents were playing cards, eating popcorn. Those kids were playing, and, you know. And so if there is less contact, if there's less interaction, personal interaction, then what they're finding in these studies today, that there's less kindness. I thought that was kind of interesting. And I think social media is just like anything else. It can be good or bad. But when people are glued to their phones, they're glued to their electronic devices, and we've seen videos where they're walking down the street and walk into a trash can or a light pole. That knocks them out. I mean, come on, you know, or texting driving 75 miles an hour. Man, I've seen that, you know. I've actually reported some that were kind of in and out of different lanes. They weren't paying attention. You know, 75 miles an hour, that's going to kill somebody. So, yeah, I've reported them. But what I've read and what I understand is that depression and anxiety is on the increase. And I believe God wired us to be social beings. And He wants a relationship with us. I like this verse, Jeremiah 29:11. He says, For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for well-being, not calamity, in order to give you a future and a hope. 29:12. Then when you call out to me and come and pray to me, I will hear. Verse 13, you will seek me and find me. And when you search for me with all your heart. God really wants this close relationship. I just can't stress that enough. He many times I've started to say something that would have got me in trouble or would have probably hurt someone's feeling. And the Holy Spirit went, shut your mouth. I heard that in my head, just so shut your mouth. But I want to be quiet. If you open your mouth, it's going to get ugly. They're my problem. Okay, Lord, then they're your problem. I dismiss my, you know, back away. So one encouragement is to keep your mouth off of people. I mean, I don't know how else to say it, you know what I mean? So I'm going to run through some things. Andy Taylor, Trinity Fellowship, my pastor, he talked about this years ago, how we should relate to others. And I thought it was good, so I'm just going to throw it out there. So first thing is in love, John 15:12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Be kind, Romans 12:10. Be devoted to each other with mutual affection. Excel at showing respect for each other. I love that translation. Excel at showing respect for each other. In other words, be at the top of your game and show respect. And let me just throw this. respect them, even though sometimes people don't deserve it. And I can put my head on the pillow tonight and say, thank you, Lord. I did what you have called me to be. I didn't get in the ditch with them, you know. So, to me at least, it's important. Don't judge. Romans 14:13, therefore let's no longer criticize each other. Instead, make up your mind not to put a stumbling block or hindrance in the way of a brother. Let me stop for a second. There's a huge, huge difference between criticism and correction. Everybody needs correction from time to time, okay? But criticism is when you yell and scream, call them names and belittle them or whatever, that's ripping and tearing at the soul of that person. When I correct, I want to do it like the Holy Spirit. He's a gentleman. He comes with a soft voice and kind of taps me on the shoulder and go, Les, I really don't like you doing this. Oh, okay. But it's not in your face. That's always the enemy. So in that difference between criticism and correction, if I correct, I want to target the behavior. I want to keep the core person intact. I love that person. If it's, you know, family or whatever. But I don't want to condemn the person. I don't want to criticize. I don't want to rip and tear at the core person, because I really believe that puts scars on their soul, so to speak. So I want to target their behavior. And we did that with our kids. You know, kids would make a mistake, do something really kind of dumb. We never called them dumb. We would say, all right, look, at what you did wasn't real smart. This could have happened. That could have happened. You know, I kind of help them think about their consequences, you know, that could have come about. But anyway, so we always targeted the behavior and left the core person intact, if that makes sense. Receive, Romans 15:7. Therefore, accept one another just as the Messiah accepted you for the glory of God. You know, there's a lot of this stuff going around now. If I'm a white guy, right? Heterosexual white guy. And if I point a truth to someone and they don't receive it, they might call me a racist. I was not raised to even see color. My mama drilled that into us. Everybody bleeds red. Everybody's here because God wants them here. Psalms 139, okay? All of our days were written down before one of them came to be. God knew us in the secret place before we was ever formed in our mother's womb. I'm telling you guys, we got to get this. And I know it's the enemy, and I get it. People that, you know, marching and protesting and calling everybody a racist, pulling their race card. We got to get this, because that's not of God. That is not of God. That is pure evil in my eyes, so. Instruct. I like this one. Romans 15:14 says, I myself am convinced, my brothers, that you yourselves are filled with goodness and full of all knowledge. You need to be able to instruct each other. In other words, even if you're a brand new Christian, you still have a story to tell. You have a testimony. And you know more about what your experience and what you're feeling than, say, a guy that's not saved. So you really have an opportunity, if God gives you that opportunity, to instruct. Does that make sense? You know more than the guy that doesn't. I mean, all right, Monica, I know I'm simple, but whatever. It makes sense to me. So whatever. All right, last one, serve. Galatians 5:13 says, for you, brothers, were called to freedom. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity to gratify your flesh. But through love, make it your habit to serve one another. Now, this is kind of targeting couples, marriages. Serve one another, okay? Now, let me go ahead and read this. 1 Peter 3:7 says, you husbands must live with your wives in an understanding manner, as with a most delicate partner. Honor them as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing may interfere with your prayers. And I was going, whoa, time out, Lord. You mean if I don't honor my wife, respect and honor and make her feel cherished and secure and all that, then my prayers are hindered? Well, that's what the word says. Like, oh, okay. But I want to address the guys for a second. It says your wives, is their delicate partner. Delicate partner. In our office back there on our shelf, we have a little teacup. Beautiful, thin, hand-painted, exquisite little teacup. Expensive. Represents the women, okay? I'm just saying. And then we've got a big old, big, thick, clear beer mug with a handle on it, right? So many, many times I've made that illustration. I tell the guys, your words and your actions can take, I said, if you just took that beer mug, one strike would absolutely just obliterate that little thin piece of china, that teacup. And I said, then how long is it going to take to glue all the pieces back? And I can't tell you how many guys got it. Boy, light bulbs, come on. Because the word says right there that she's delicate. You gals are wired to be emotional. You're delicate in the emotional arena because you're the mamas. You're the nurturers, okay? Us guys, we're kind of the hunter-gatherers and all that stuff. We're logical and reasoning and all that stuff. But once I got the clue years ago that my wife was delicate in that area, then, man, oh, man. How do I say this? I knew that I didn't want to hurt her heart. My goal wasn't to hurt her heart. So I needed to, and this was many, many years ago, but I needed to back off a little bit with my sergeant's voice. You know what I mean? Because that was intimidating her. And I'll just tell you guys, you can keep that mindset. Well, I'm the man. I'll do what the heck I want to do when I want to do it, blah, blah, blah. And each passing day, her heart's growing more and more cold and hardened towards you. And I've seen it to where women's heart was so hard, there's no reconciliation. They're done. So I'll address that with the guys here in a second. But 1 Peter 3:8 then goes ahead and says, finally, all of you must live in harmony, be sympathetic, love as brothers, and be compassionate and humble. Verse 9 says, do not pay others back evil for evil or insult for insult. Instead, keep blessing them because you're calling, for you are called to inherit a blessing. Verse 10, for the person who wants to love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. And Proverbs says, right, the power of life and death is in the tongue. Oh, my goodness. That's a hard one to swallow, right? But I want to talk. There again, Holy Spirit, be quiet or it'll get ugly. What? Anyway. You get that one a lot, Tina. 1 Peter 3:11, then he says, he must turn away from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. I've been on the planet many years. I have learned that the Bible is absolutely correct when it says bless and not curse. If I bless someone, I really believe angels are released to go help them. If I curse somebody, and that doesn't mean just cussing them out. That's gossiping. That's talking ill of, you're operating in the enemy's camp. So people believe this or not, but I really believe that. Well, God told me one time, your words and your actions, Les, tie my own hands. And I went, but you're God. He goes, I know, but I can't break my own rules. I've given you guys dominion. I've given you, Luke 10:19, Jesus told his disciples, which we are one, I give you all power of the enemy. So that's kind of a hard one to swallow, isn't it? So God wants us to bless, not curse, because if I curse, I'm giving Satan permission legal authority, by the way, I believe, to release demons to go mess with that person, make their life even more miserable. And I really believe when I draw my last breath, I'll have to answer to some of that. So, oh, my goodness gracious. I mean, I'll be in heaven, guys, but I really believe that there's going to be a time where I'm going to have to answer to that. Well, the Bible says that you will be held accountable for every idle word that proceeds out of your mouth. So we've got to get a clue, is all I'm saying. All right.
I've had to put a bubble in it lately. Like a big bubble.
Holding your breath.
Yeah, to keep the words from spilling out, man. So I have two grand boys living with me now.
Okay.
A 10-year-old and a 17-year-old that will be 18 in November.
Oh.
Okay. Thanks, Lord. No, really. I thank the Lord. So they help me a lot.
Yep.
You know, they have chores.
Sure.
You know.
That's good.
Grandpa's gone. He's with the Lord now. So it's been a lot to take on both roles. You can relate.
Oh, yeah.
To have to take on both roles, you know? And so recently, this past month, On the first, I got my water bill in. $100. Double.
Oh, my gosh.
Doubled. Okay. But it's okay. So I went, I was helping some friends at their shop, and I was working, and I didn't get off work till 9 o'clock. So I don't get home till 9:30. I get home, I'm ready to go out. Okay. So the next morning I wake up, go to the restroom, and I'm sitting there and I'm like, what is that noise?
Oh, no.
I hear water. And then you talk about wake up super fast. I hear water. So I finish my business. I get up, put my house coat on, my house shoes on, and I go in the backyard. Sure enough, my female dog in the backyard in the dog run is like in a lake.
Oh, my gosh.
So one of the chores is for the grand boys is to take care of the puppy dogs. Make sure they're fed and watered.
But not a lake.
It was a little over. They went a little, I mean, and it's okay because there's been times that I have forgotten things. And when I had to go out there and turn the water off, I wanted to go in there and wake them up. Excuse me. Is there a reason why my water's still on at 6:30 in the morning? And the Lord said, you really? And it was just, really?
Yeah, no, humbling.
And then he says, I want you to show these boys the same compassion and understanding and love that I've shown you. Yes, sir. So what do you want me to do? Nothing. What? Nothing. But nothing. Yes, sir. So I've been walking around my house.
Yep.
With the bubble.
I got stories like that. I got it. I understand.
Not even letting it come out.
I know.
Because, you know, one grandson has already been beat up enough by his natural father. Mm. You know, and The other one is still maturing. He's only 10. You know, so my words would have hurt and scarred. And so
added to their scars.
Yeah, and so by just being quiet and, you know, so yesterday the Lord said, it took me 2 weeks, just so you know.
Yep.
The Lord said, okay, now just tell the boys to be more mindful when they're out watering the dog to make sure the water's off. And I'm like, that's it? Well, can I ground them? Because, you know, $100, Lord, is $100. And he was like, what is that to me?
Can I throw one more thing?
And I just cried.
Can I throw one thing?
Please.
With those boys. So, and you talk about the dogs. We're like, look, I don't want to paint a broad, but most guys are kind of like little puppy dogs.
Yeah.
Like, did I do good? Pet me, tell me I did the good. So tell those boys when they do turn the water off, just go crazy over it. Thank you guys so much. Yeah. You're so good and thoughtful and you know what I mean? And you're going to reinforce that good behavior.
You know, I started doing that with these boys whenever, like when I come home and the kitchen's clean, the living room's vacuumed, the toilet. Y'all,
well,
from a 10 and a 17 year old,
awesome,
you know, and it's like they appreciate having a safe place.
Sure.
And so, me thanking them and saying, oh, guys,